Now, you know what a critic would say on this kind of preaching? He'd take me back to Luke 1, verse 74, where it says that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, may serve him without fear. Here it says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, which one does he mean? He means both of them. He means be without the fear of hell, without the fear of death, without the fear of failure, without the fear of a cancer, without the fear of a wreck or some terrible thing happening to you because your trust is in God. But then you pass the time of your sojourning here in the fear of God. If you fear God, other fears are cast out. Because the fear of God and the faith of God and the love of God can coexist side by side perfectly in the same heart of that new man. It won't get in a human heart, but it'll get in that heart of that new man. He's got a new heart. And he says, as forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Hey, God didn't bring you into redemption through silver and gold and payment in money or physical things that you can look upon. That wasn't the way we were brought into the family of God. There was a terrible price paid that we could have that new person in us capable of living the life of Christ. Now here it is. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, that is your vain lifestyle, that you received by tradition from your fathers. You inherited it. The heredity, the inheritance we get from fathers and mothers in this generation, 99% of the time are terrible. See, he said you got that old lifestyle from your fathers by their traditions. My father and mother had a different tradition, and how I thank God for that. Praise the Lord. You better have one too to pass on to your prodigy, as they call it. It's a good word, but I can't pronounce it. That is your ancestors. Praise God. All right. He said, you were bought with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lord redeemed us and made it possible for us to live the life of true holiness so we can go to heaven and miss hell. It's just that plain. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, if you want to hear a little something else, go to the second chapter, verses 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. They'll defeat you. They'll destroy you. Fleshly lust. You got to overcome them. And you can, with the help of the new nature. And you got to remember that old nature is right there. They're living side by side. And you're torn many times in between the desires of the old nature. And it's hard sometimes for unwitting novices or babes in Christ to discern. Now, which one of them magnetisms is pulling on me? Is that new nature or is that the old nature? That's why you can't be ignorant. Don't go back to your former lust in your ignorance. What you could do before you were born again, don't go back to it and be ignorant. That you can go back and do the same things you did before you were saved, it'll destroy you. The Bible warns it. These dumb preachers, 99% of them can't find it. They don't even warn God's people. But he says here, them fleshly lusts, you're a stranger and a pilgrim, and them fleshly lusts, a war against your soul, having your conversation, having your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That your lifestyle, when it's holy, when it's manifest in true holiness, that it will cause other people around you to they'll glorify God because you're not a professed Christian. You are a possessed Christian. You live the life of Jesus, and they'll respect you for it. Oh, they might not at the first, but when they learn you're honest, they'll glorify God and say, hey, I found one of them. Praise God. When them sanctified folks, Old Dr. McGee might not think there's any of them, but I found one, or I found two. Praise the Lord. Boy, that's a victory. And finally, it could lead that person to the Lord. And often it does. All right, go on. Chapter 3. I want to show you something about old brother Peter and the lifestyle he writes about. You better listen to it. It's for us. 1 Peter 3. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Woo! Now, brother Peter, you're going to meddling and quit preaching. You young little gals, you don't like that, do you? Some of the old ones don't like it neither. And that's what the Bible says. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That's part of holiness. That, if any obey not the word, you don't have to fuss with him, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, that is, the lifestyle of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation or lifestyle, chaste means discipline. You behave yourself, coupled with fear, that's the fear of God. And whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning. Now this is talking about true holiness. Don't let it be that outward adorning, a plaiting the hair and a wearing of gold and a putting on of apparel. Beads, necklaces, ear bobs, old shiny things sticking out on you to attract attention. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. That's what God requires of a woman, which is in the sight of God great price, if you're a godly woman. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted God adorned themselves. They didn't dress up like Hollywood makes them look. That picture they made about 15, 20 years ago about Sodom and Gomorrah, had Ava Gardner there playing Sarah, and I forgot who was Abraham. They out there looking over the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you can't even see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's hundreds of feet down below a salty, the saltest water in the world. God turned it upside down and buried it beneath a cursed sea. Don't nothing live in that dead sea. But in the picture, they had her all dolled up with ear bobs and painted face and necklaces and what do you call them things? Bracelets and all that junk. That was Sarah. And the little Isaac was along with them. And they were walking out there and seeing the destruction and little skulls and big skulls and carcasses laying around. Mostly cremated, but some wasn't quite destroyed. And Isaac says, "Did God do this, my father?" "Yes, son, God did it because these people were exceedingly wicked." He looked at a little old skull. He said, "Was that baby wicked, my father?" He was a little devil, and he was growing, going to grow up to be a big devil. That's why God destroyed him. A little devil just grows up to be a big devil. So what's the difference? Get him while he's little. Then you know how to put up with a rascal. That's what God did. But he didn't leave no skulls out there. Ain't nobody ever seen no carnage of the world's greatest disaster since Noah's day. There's no evidence. They ain't never found none over there. God put it so far down there in a hole and covered it up with a cursed sea of salt. And nobody's ever been able to find, except Bible evidence, about Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the way, it says here that Sarah called Abraham Lord and says, after this manner, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves and were in subjection to their own husbands. That is, they didn't adorn themselves with a plaiting of their hair, putting gold woven in it. They didn't wear gold. They didn't put on gaudy apparel. And then Hollywood comes along and reversed it and said, this is the way we think it ought to be. We'll fit on Hollywood. That's what most American women want to be, like Liz or some old harlot from Hollywood. Been married about 5 or 6 times. Zha Zha. This is where I treated my first husband. This is what I did my second husband. This is my third husband. And my fourth husband. Yeah. It wants to be like them varmints. God have mercy. And it says, this is the way Sarah dressed, just like the Bible says here. She dressed modest and was in subjection to her husband. And it says, you're her daughters, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. You're not afraid to do it. You're not in shock because you found out Sarah was a disciplined woman and then subject to her husband and dressed modestly. Not in gold and pearl and costly arrays, but that which godly women profess in holiness, in holy apparel. In verse 7 it says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them and wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. If they'd act like it, you could, wouldn't you? You got to act weaker.